I have been looking forward to this weekend because this is the beginning of the 7 weeks of comfort, of the 7 weeks of consolation. And today and tomorrow, this Shabbat is called Shabbat Nachmu. Can you say that? Shabbat Nachmu, the Shabbat of comfort or consolation. And the Haftorah reading is from Isaiah 40. And I love this particular chapter because it tells us that we're to bring good news and comfort to Israel, to the Jewish people. But today, when I was thinking about this passage, I realized that in order to tell the whole story about Yeshua and his gospel, three different apostles thought it was necessary to refer to this week's Haftorah reading. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all refer to this Haftorah from Isaiah chapter 40. In fact, they use the Haftorah portion to explain the calling and the ministry of Yochanan HaMatbil. How many of you know who that is? AKA John the Baptist? But better maybe to call him John the Immerser? Yochanan HaMatbil. Yochanan who immersed or made tevilah with others. And they use, the three apostles use this Haftorah portion to explain that John, Yochanan, was preparing the way for Yeshua. And that Yeshua was bringing the good news of God's salvation to all of Israel. And with that in mind, I want to show you how this week's Haftorah is woven together into the Gospels. Let's read from Isaiah 40, starting in verse 1, and then we'll move to Luke's Gospel. If you have your Bibles with you, turn to Isaiah chapter 40. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her iniquity has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling, in the desert prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Let's look at some of these verses. God is saying to the prophet to speak these words, comfort, comfort my people. And where it says speak tenderly in the Hebrew, it actually says speak to the heart. Speak to the heart of Jerusalem. You know, the prophet Isaiah, like almost all of Israel's prophets, had two sides to his message. One was a call to repentance. And the other one was a call to faith and hope. And so many times, those who needed to repent were experiencing great difficulty and a lot of trouble. And God was saying, if you will turn to me, I'll get you out of this trouble. And it sounds sometimes like the prophets are just saying hard things to Israel. When you read Isaiah, there are some very hard words that he spoke, just as was the case for Jeremiah and other prophets, even the case for Moses, who is saying hard things. But do you know this, that when a prophet of Israel says hard things, that's not the only words that he has to say. When he says hard things, it's not that he's an anti-Semite. How many of you know that Moses was not an anti-Semite? How many of you know that Jeremiah was not an anti-Semite? Not everyone. You might be surprised. How many of you know that Isaiah is not an anti-Semite? You see, Israel's prophets told the truth even when it hurt, but their purpose was not to hurt, their purpose was to heal. And so they would say hard things when it was necessary to prepare Israel for healing. This passage mixes hard and soft. Isaiah 40 mixes the hard and the soft, but it begins with comfort. And it says in the Hebrew, speak to the heart, because often, if you're going to make a real difference, you have to speak to the heart, not just to the mind of people. And this is what it says. Her time of service has been completed. That's a little bit vague and unclear. Rabbi Hertz, who was the chief rabbi of England for many years, translates it this way. Her punishment is complete. In other words, Israel has been punished, and that is complete now. Now, how many of you know that Rabbi Hertz is not an anti-Semite? So when he speaks about Israel being punished, it's not because he's anti-Semitic. Are you following with me? I hope so. And it could also be translated that her warfare is completed. The battle for Israel, in a certain sense, has been completed. And then it says her iniquity has been paid for, or her guilt has been paid off. Or again, Rabbi Hertz says her iniquity has been worked off. She's worked off the penalty for her iniquity. And he points back to Leviticus chapter 26, verse 43, which says that Israel is going to be scattered at times. And one of the reasons for that is for not keeping Shabbat. And if Israel doesn't keep Shabbat and doesn't give the sabbatical year as a rest to the land, but works every year, if Israel does that, not only not keeping the weekly Shabbat, but the Shabbat of a whole year every 7 years, then the Jewish people are going to be pushed out of the land so the land can take a rest. And so Rabbi Hertz is saying that Israel gets pushed out at those times as a form of punishment and as a call to repentance, and then Israel is called back. And this word, Rabbi Hertz is saying, is connected to that punishment. Israel, you are scattered, now you're being called back to the land. Now, that's background for what we want to read in the Gospels. I want you to turn to Luke chapter 1. My mouth is really dry today. I think I've got sympathy for my wife. So we're in Luke chapter 1, and I want to introduce you to a figure. His name in Hebrew is Zechariah. In English, how is it written? Zacharias? I don't even know how to say it right. In chapter 1, verse 67. And Zechariah is the father of John the Baptizer, John the Immerser, Yochanan HaMatbil. He's the father. He's just gone through a fascinating experience. He had some doubts about the birth of his son, and as a result of that, the Lord silenced him for quite a long time. And now his son has been born. In verse 67 it says, now his father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and he prophesied. And let's go down to verse 76. Remember, he's prophesying by the Holy Spirit and he's speaking to his son. And he says, you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High. For you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him. Do you see the connection between that and Isaiah 40? You are going to go before and you're going to prepare the way for him. To give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. So verse 76 is a reference to Isaiah 40. You are one who's preparing the way for the coming of the Lord. In Luke chapter 1, verse 78, just two verses down, talks about the tender mercy of the Lord, and it's building on the very theme of this week's Haftorah reading. Shabbat Nachmu, the Shabbat of comfort or consolation, speaks of the mercy of God and the tender mercies of God. And it says, comfort, comfort my people, speak tenderly, or speak to the heart. So this prophecy that Zechariah is giving is a prophecy that ties back to what we're reading this week in the Haftorah portion. Now we can go to Luke chapter 3, where we see John, now a young man, Yochanan, and he's bringing good news and calling people to be immersed in water to make tevilah. Say this Hebrew word, tevilah, with me. Tevilah is a Hebrew word that means to be immersed underwater. And it is the word that was translated into Greek as baptizo, which means to be immersed underwater. Exactly the same thing. So neither of these words has to do with sprinkling, incidentally. They have to do with immersion, to be sunk underwater. And so he's immersing people in water, and he's calling them to repentance and forgiveness. And this time, it's John himself who quotes from this week's Haftorah. Look in Luke chapter 3, verse 4. He says, "As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one calling in the desert, 'Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked roads shall become straight, the rough ways smooth, and all mankind will see God's salvation.'" Now, this last sentence, "all mankind will see God's salvation," is worth taking a little extra time for. John is quoting Isaiah, but he's not quoting the Hebrew text of the passage. He's quoting the Septuagint. The Septuagint is the Greek translation of the Hebrew Bible, and yet it was made by Jews. Jews who wanted Greek-speaking Jews to be able to read the Bible in their everyday language. So they translated it. And it has an interesting turn on this passage in Isaiah 40, verse 5. You see, the traditional Hebrew text would say, "The glory of the Lord will be revealed. All mankind will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." But the Septuagint says it a little differently. It says, "The glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind will see the salvation of God," rather than "see it, for the Lord has spoken." Now remember, the Septuagint is the Jewish translation. Now how many of you know that the writers of the Septuagint are not anti-Semitic? Okay, just want to stick with that thought. So the Septuagint translators are connecting something: the visible glory of the Lord and the coming and visible salvation of God. And they put it together. They sort of do what the writer of Psalm 50 does when he makes a connection between glorifying God and salvation. The psalmist wrote, "He who offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving glorifies me. And to him who orders his way aright, I will show the salvation of God." So there's a parallelism there connecting the glory of the Lord and the salvation of God. So John the Baptist, John the Immerser, Yochanan HaMatbil, how do you like to call him? Yochanan HaMatbil? Yeah. We can just call him Yochanan. You could say Yo if you want to make it short. Yo, Yohi. So he's fulfilling the mandate of Isaiah 40. He's saying to the Jewish people, your salvation is coming, so keep your eyes open. John is saying, it's not me. Don't look at me. I'm the one who's preparing the way, but one is coming after me. Look at him. It's like he's saying, keep your eyes open because I'm preparing the way for the one who brings the salvation of the God of Israel. That's what he's really saying. So it's connected to this incredible theme of Isaiah that God is bringing Israel salvation as an act of his tender mercy. In Isaiah 40, going back there to verse 9, it has this phrase, "You who bring good tidings to Zion." You know, we don't use tidings very often today. The closest I've got is a little Tide detergent. But tidings, good tidings, is just a way of saying good news. Doesn't good news sound simpler? And did you know that the word gospel simply means good news? So good news, gospel, and this whole idea of the gospel and what to do with it is connected to Isaiah 40. When we think of evangelism in a messianic Jewish way, we have to tie it into Isaiah, who was one of the greatest announcers or proclaimers of the good news of the gospel. Nachum, I don't even know how you mispronounce this one in Hebrew. Nahum? He's the prophet. How do you say it wrong or correct in English? Nahum? Nahum? Yeah. Okay. Forget Nahum. His mom wouldn't know who he is if you said that. Nahum. Can you say that? Good. Nahum chapter 1 verse 15 says, look, a messenger is coming over the mountains with good news. He's bringing a message of peace. Celebrate your festivals, O people of Judah, and fulfill all your vows, for your wicked enemies will never invade your land again. They will be completely destroyed. We're waiting for the day when the invaders of Israel give up and are destroyed and cease to do their evil work. Back to Isaiah. My goal here is to simply grab the threads of these different passages, tie them together, and let you work with them to see what you can make of it. Isaiah chapter 52, verse 7. How beautiful or how lovely on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who announces peace, who brings good news of happiness, who announces salvation and says to Zion, your God reigns. You and I, as part of the Messianic Jewish movement, are called to be such people who proclaim good news to the Jewish people and who say to the Jewish people, who say to Zion, your God reigns. We have an announcement to Israel. The God of Israel is ruling. The God of Israel is in charge of the whole world. And you and I are commanded to bring good news to Israel. That is our charge. Let's go back to Luke. Now in chapter 4, we heard what Zechariah, the father of Yochanan, said. We heard what Yochanan said. Both of them referring to Isaiah 40, our Haftorah portion. But I want to show you something about Yeshua in Luke chapter 4, starting in verse 14. Yeshua returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread throughout the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. Okay, where did Yeshua teach?
Synagogue.
That's right. And he went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on Yom Shabbat, what does your Bible translation say? On Shabbat. How many have on the day of Shabbat? Shabbat day, on the Sabbath day. How many of you have on Sunday in your translation? If you do, you want to fix that. On Yom Shabbat, he went into the synagogue as was his custom. I like that. It was Yeshua's custom to go to the synagogue on Saturday. And he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, the Spirit of the Lord is on me. Do you know where it's written? Who knows? Isaiah, that's right. Isaiah, what chapter? 61. Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And then he rolled up the scroll, he gave it back to the attendant, and he sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. You see, this is interesting because in many synagogues it's different than in our modern synagogues where the speaker is standing up, you know, as we do on the Bema. And it was not uncommon to stand up to read from the scriptures and then to sit down and talk. And the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, today the scripture is brought into fullness in your hearing. So Yeshua is building on the good news that comes from Isaiah. Isaiah has this message of good news. It is a continual message. And this week, all over the Jewish world, we stop to let the words of Isaiah speak to us. Words of comfort. to receive comfort, but to also understand that the comfort is meant to bring us to repentance and to bring us into close relationship with God. Real comfort comes by being in a right relationship with God. That right relationship is so well described in the New Testament writings by building on what Isaiah has called for. And the right relationship has this finale, good news. If you are in trouble, God has good news for you. If you have gotten yourself into trouble, God has good news for you. If others have afflicted you, oppressed you, even if the enemy of your soul, Hasatan, has tried to push you away from God, God has good news for you. He's waiting with open arms to receive you. When he calls you to leave behind every sin, to leave behind all iniquity, to understand that there's a payment for that. And Yeshua paid for that. Yeshua's death on the cross was the ultimate payment for all of our sins. But you and I need to act on that. It's not enough to know it's true. We have to show that it's true by living as people of faith. I love what Yeshua did standing in that synagogue where he had grown up. He says something. Good news has come to everyone who can hear. I want to encourage you to receive good news for yourself and to pass it on to other people. To receive comfort for yourself and then to pass it on to other people. Sometimes people will be in trouble and they can't figure out what to do and they get lost in a dark cave of wondering, why am I in trouble? How did I get into this trouble? And I want to tell you, sometimes that analysis won't get you out of trouble or out of the cave. Sometimes the best you can do is in your despair, call to God. And He will answer you. And He will speak to you and show you the way out of your trouble. And that way out will always lead you back to Him. And it will always lead you out of whatever caused problems for you in the first place. You can be sure of this. God knows how to rescue. God knows how to save. And that is why it's so profoundly important for you and me, while we're during this, the first week of consolation, and these next 7 weeks as we prepare for the high holidays, that you and I let the salvation of God work on us and on our behalf. And that we experience His mercy and His forgiveness so personally that we can show others and we can tell others about the goodness of the Lord. I also want to encourage you to read the Torah and Haftorah portion each week with us. That's one of the ways you can follow in the footsteps of Yeshua, the Jewish Messiah. And I want to encourage you to take time to study yourself so that you can see connections between those readings and the good news of Messiah that's written in the Brit Hadashah. When you're reading Moses or you're reading the prophets, ask yourself this question: where can I find these same words and these references to these words in the Brit Hadashah? When you do that, you will find that the Tanakh and the Brit Hadashah are really one portion together. They're designed to be read together. And in fact, you cannot understand the writings of the apostles unless you understand the writings of Moses and the prophets. Because all of the good news that the apostles proclaimed is built upon the foundation of Torah and the prophets. Shabbat Nachmu, the Shabbat of comfort and consolation. How better to usher it in than by remembering the one who one Jewish prophet, Simeon, called the consolation of Israel, Yeshua of Nazareth. I want to pray. Lord, we thank You. We thank You for Isaiah's good news. We thank You that that good news is still working its way into our lives today. We thank you that you have called us to receive comfort and to give comfort and to point the way to the salvation of God. Thank you for a Messiah, Yeshua, who came and died for us and rose from the dead, who paid the penalty for all of Israel, in fact, for the whole world. And thank you for his salvation in my life and each one of us. We bless you, Lord. I pray for those who are in mourning, for those who are in trouble, that you will lift them up with good news. I pray for those who need healing, that you would bring the good news of your compassion and your love and your healing to them. I pray also, Lord, for those who are wondering, how do I make things right with God? What do I need to do to get out of trouble? Let it be, Lord, that the words of life touch hearts today. Let the gift of repentance that leads to life do its work. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen. Amen. We're going to close with Aaron's blessing. Would you please stand? Hey, hungers, why don't you come stand with me so I'm not here all by my lonesome? Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ye'er Adonai p'navelecha v'yichunecha. Yisa Adonai p'navelecha v'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep watch over you. The Lord cause the light of his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you his shalom, his peace. In the name of Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Amen. Shabbat shalom. Shabbat shalom.